This is a new day, full of sound and light and expectation. This day has been waiting for you. This day has been waiting especially for you, to embrace you, to guide you. This day has been waiting with open arms, just for you. This is the day we have been given. Let's not waste it. Come now, and let us worship together. Please rise, embody your spirit for our first hymn, 361. Enter, rejoice, and come in.
Rejoice and come in, enter, rejoice and come in. Today will be a joyful day, enter, rejoice and come in. Open your ears to the song, open your ears to the song. Today will be a joyful day, enter, rejoice and come in. Open your hearts, everyone, open your hearts, everyone. Today will be a joyful day, enter, rejoice and come in. Don't be afraid of some change, don't be afraid of some change. Today will be a joyful day, enter, rejoice and come in. Enter, rejoice and come in, enter, rejoice and come in. Today will be a joyful day, enter, rejoice, and come in.
Good morning. Some of us are bringing our best selves to this space, and some of us are bringing our struggling selves, including pieces we might be ashamed of. All of us are welcome here. And all of us are loved. Some of us already have open hearts, and some of us aren't quite there yet because our hearts have gotten a little beat up this week, and we might have forgotten how to trust and open. Your heart is welcome here. No matter how bruised, we welcome you among us. All of us are imperfect, but we're here to drop our defenses and trust that what happens in worship is powerful and life-giving. Together, we affirm that this day and our being together can make each of us braver, more compassionate, and wiser than when we woke up this morning. My name is John Golgus, and it is my pleasure to welcome each of you to UUYO, the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Youngstown. Please, at this time, we ask that you silence your cell phones so that you can be present with us in the sacred space. I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting for the first or second time. We invite you to take a packet, which is on the welcome table by the door. We also invite you to fill our yellow connection card if you'd like to receive a weekly email and monthly newsletter. The connection card can also be used to notify the church and staff of an address change, email change, or even if you need a name tag. We invite everyone to join us for coffee and refreshments downstairs in Channing Hall after the service. We'll be happy to answer any questions about the church, as well as activities and programs that are offered here. We offer religious education classes for children and youth during our services. The children usually begin here and will leave during their class, but today everybody will be here for the multi-generational service. Child care is available upstairs in the nursery for children 5 and under. And if you would like to see more information about our religious education program, please see our director of RE,
Becky Harker.
And just a couple of announcements today. Sunday, January 13th is our annual meeting from 12:15 to 1:15 p.m. The 2019 annual meeting of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Youngstown will take place after church on Sunday, January 13th, 2019, in Channing Hall. As it has done in the past few years, the Board of Trustees will provide a light lunch for everyone following the church service. Also coming up, Friday, January 18th at 6 p.m. at Rodo Shoal, UUYO has been invited to attend an interfaith Shabbat service in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., Friday, January 18th at 6 p.m. at Rodo Shoal. Reverend Joseph, Rabbi Mueller, and other faith leaders will co-lead a service and participate in a panel discussion reflecting on King's message in our current social and political climate. Please bring a potluck dish to share in community and RSVP to Heather Best before January 16th. And then today is our social justice ministry meeting, which will be in Switzer's Lounge from 12 to 2 p.m. And at this time, I'll have Reverend Joseph come up and do our chalice lighting.
I love being part of a multi-generational community. Look around. It's incredible, isn't it? People of all various generations, all sitting together. It's incredible. Typically, multi-generational is code for there are children who are going to stay in the service. But I have a secret for you. Every service we have at UUYO is multi-generational. Every single one. Based on where my birth date falls, I'm considered part of the millennial generation. The marker of that generation, the big event that has shaped the way that my generation sees the world, was 9/11. And each generation has major world events that have shaped how they see themselves, how they are in relationship, how they engage with technology. All of these influence each other. It has been the premise of my ministry so far that our personal issues and world issues are not two things. They are one thing. They influence each other. They're connected to each other. They inform each other. And here at UUYO, we become aware of that intimate connection with ourselves and the world. And in that realization, we have a choice. We have a choice of how we want to respond to the world. So we light this chalice in honor of the ways that we do that together, multi-generationally, to learn how we respond to ourselves and how we want to respond to the world.
Please join me in reading the covenant of this church, which can be found in your order of service. Love is the spirit of this church, and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Now please rise in body and soul and spirit, and take the time to greet your neighbor, paying attention to those that you may have not seen before.
And I was like, uh-oh.
That was great.
Best catch.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you? Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Becky Ann Harker, and I am Director of Religious Education here at UUIO. And it's time for the Wonder Box, and I'm going to have my friend Penelope come up today, and I'm really happy she's here. This is the time where we're going to open our Wonder Box and see what might be inside, and it goes with the story that I'm going to tell. And the reason why I'm happy that Penelope is here today is because my story is about a little girl who's just about Penelope's age. And she went way across the country in an airplane to meet her great-grandfather. Now, great-grandfathers are pretty old. Did you know that? It's like your mom's grandpa or your grandpa's dad. Really old, right? Sorry to all the great-grandparents out there. But she went to meet him for the first time, and he had a little shop that had lots of antiques and collectibles and books. And so she was walking all around the store looking at things. And her great-grandpa said, "You know what? I'd like you to pick out something that's around here. And you'll be able to learn about me because I'll tell you a story about it. And I'll be able to learn about you because I'll see what you are interested in." And so, go ahead and open the box. She picked up an item. And this is a cigar box. It says Girl Scouts on it, but we're going to ignore that. It's a cigar box. And he said, "Wait a minute. Do you smoke cigars? Do you?"
"No."
"No." "Well, I don't either," he said. "But you know what? There's no cigars in here anyway. Let's open this up and see what might be inside." So this is a box. Can you open it? There's a bunch of things in there. And she says, "What is this?" There's our actually little match boxes. And she said, "What is that?" And I said, the grandfather said, "Well, it's my diary." Do you know what a diary is, Penelope? "No. A diary is a book, usually, that you write in, and you write the things you're thinking about and feeling about and the things that happen to you. This does not look like a diary, does it?" "No." But this is Grandpa's, great-grandpa's diary. So he said, "Here, open this up, because each of these has a little story about it." So you push it out of the side. Oh, she flung it across the room. Can you go get that for me? And she says, "What is that?" Here, you say.
"What is that?"
"What is that?"
"It is an olive pit. Can I have it?" "It's an olive pit." And he said, "Every time I hold this, I am immediately brought back to Italy. That is where I was born and where I grew up. And there were olive trees everywhere. And not just that, but life was pretty hard when I was a little boy. Our house didn't have floors. It had dirt floors. And we didn't have lights, and sometimes we didn't have enough to eat. And so my mother would give me an olive pit to suck on to make me feel better." You want to get another one? Get number two? This is a Wonder Box full of boxes of surprises. What'd you find in there? A picture. This is my father. My father left when I was very young, when I was a baby, because he came to America to get work. And he would send us letters and money home. But do you know what? Nobody in my family could read or write. Not even my father, who was your great-great-grandfather. He couldn't read or write either, but he had somebody write letters for him. And he would mail it to us. And we'd go to the schoolmaster, and either him or his son would read the letters to us. His son was only a couple years older than me, and he had a diary that you could actually write in. And so that was when I first learned about the diaries. Here, go ahead and open another one. What's in there?
Noodles.
Some noodles. So here's what happened when I was a child. Life got even harder. There was a drought. There was no wheat. There was no macaroni for us to eat. And so we had the schoolmaster write a letter, and we sent it to our father, and we waited and waited. But eventually we got a letter back saying that we could come to America too. Now my grandma, who is your great-great-great-grandma, she was really sad and crying. She didn't want to leave. And she was afraid that she would never get to eat good food again. But everybody told her that there was plenty of food in America. Ooh, what's in this next one?
A bottle cap.
Yes, ma'am, it's a bottle cap. So it took 3.5 days to get to the ocean for us to get on a boat. I had never seen the ocean before. I had never been on a boat before. And we were down in the bottom of this ship, and there were lots of people there. And there were the first time I had ever seen drinks that came in a bottle. So there are bottle caps around and plenty of matchboxes. And that is when I started my collection. Let's see, what's in this next one? What are those?
Seeds. Seeds.
Seeds, those are sunflower seeds. So he asked her, how long did it take you to go all the way across the country to get here? About 5 hours by the airplane, right? That's a long time. But do you know that it took me 19 days on the boat to get here from Italy? And I know that because I put one seed in the box every day we were at sea. That's a long time. What's in that box?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, so here's what happened. When we got to Ellis Island, everybody was very excited. They were talking about the Statue of Liberty. They were jumping up and down. But me, I was crying. They had told me a story about the buttonhook man, the man who would use this hook that they used to use before they had laces on their shoes, and they would use it on your eyes and pull your eyes up, and they would look at them. Because if they looked red or you were sick, they would not let you come into the country. And I was so scared of the buttonhook man that I was crying and my eyes were all red. And so when they looked at my eyes, they said, red, and they wouldn't let me off the boat. And my mother fainted. But my sister found somebody who could speak Italian and found a doctor who would just look with his fingers. And he said I was okay. And he gave me some peppermints to make me feel better. And so I put one in the box. But I ate it a week later. What's in the next one?
A piece of paper.
A piece of paper. It's a newspaper. Here's what happened. When we got to America, life was also not easy. It was actually very hard. We all went to work. It was good we had work, but even I was working. And we went from place to place. We were canning fish. We were shelling peas. We were rolling cigars. We were sorting peaches. We went down south, and we were shelling shrimp and opening oysters. Sometimes I didn't know where I was or when I was there. So I started collecting newspapers because I knew it had the date and the place that we were, so I could always remember. I loved newspapers. I couldn't even read, and I loved newspapers. Oh, Penelope, that one was my favorite. It stuck, though. Let's see. This was a ticket to a baseball game. I got to go to a baseball game with my dad, and it was the best day of my life. I had no idea what they were doing. Grown men running around in circles. It's kind of silly. But we didn't have to go to work. And I got to sit with my dad all day. And under the bleachers, I found more matchboxes and a quarter. So I knew we could go to another baseball game again. That, I don't know if you can see, that is a little piece of coal. Now, here's what happened. We eventually got somewhere to live. We got an apartment, and we had jobs, and my dad was working at the iron mill over in Pittsburgh, or the steel mill, and my sisters got jobs sewing, and my mother, she knew how much I liked to write. I would practice with pieces of coal writing letters that I saw on signs, and so she wanted me to go to school so I could read and write, and I can teach my sisters. But my dad didn't want me to go. He thought I should be working. So there was a big fight. So then she asked, who won the fight?
Who won the fight?
Here's the secret. I went to school. And I learned how to read and write. And this is a good one, too. What's in there?
Letters.
These are little letters. I don't actually have these at my house, but they're supposed to be the little typesetting letters, because I took a class and I went to work for a printing press, because here's what they had to do back then. They had little tiny letters on little metal cubes that they'd line all the way up to make words, and they would run the press, and that is how they made newspapers. And that's where I worked for most of my life. And I was very happy. But then the little girl asked, did you ever stop keeping your matchbook diary? And the great-grandfather said, I suppose I didn't, because look around my shop. I've got all the things I collect, the antiques and the collectibles and even the books. Those are kind of like diaries too. And I keep all of those. They're very important to me. And the little girl said, I want to have a diary. And so the great-grandfather asked, what grade are you in, Penelope?
Kindergarten.
And he said, that's wonderful, because you are going to be reading and writing pretty soon. But until then, you can start collecting all of your little things and make your own matchbox diary. And you know, in the airplane on the way back home with her parents, she took those little wings that the flight attendants will give you in a little box that her great-grandfather had given her, so she can start her own collection and remember the day that she spent with her great-grandfather. Thank you, Penelope. That was actually a story, an adaptation of a story called The Matchbox Diary by Paul, Fleischman, Paul Fleischman. So now, if you would, stand as you are willing and able, and open to hymn 402, From You I Receive.
From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and from this we live.
Will the greeters please come forward? Each month, we share one half of our non-pledge collection with an organization that is involved in making our community a better place. This month, we're sharing the plate with UUJO, UU Justice Ohio, our UU clergy, and leaders from many different Ohio congregations, offering the access to training and opportunities for advocacy and action around issues of social equity and equality. We now receive the offering that sustains the life of this church and its work within the world. If you are visiting with us for the first or second time, we invite you to please let the plate pass, for you are our guest here, and honor us with your presence.
you would like to talk with a minister, me, about any concern that you have, or even if you just want to get to know me a bit more, please feel free to drop a note in the box. It's anonymous. There's a little slot, piece of paper on the side. If you put your name and your phone number, I'll pick it up and I'll get in touch with you this week. This is a time that we sit in silence. One of my favorite parts of the service, actually. So get into a posture that's comfortable for you, and we'll just sit together for a minute or two.
My dad died 28 years ago. I still have some of his things. A red plaid Pendleton bathrobe. I looked like dad in that thing right now. An old Sears table saw, about used in 1956. I still use it, but for rough cuts only. An old grinding wheel, noisy as sin, but sharpens mower blades in no time. Trays and trays of screws and nuts, sorted in biscuit pans by size. Just stir and search. His gold watch given to him in 57. It hasn't worked in years. It's going to cost too much to fix it, so I just keep it in my drawer. I had his pocket knife, but lost it. I always lose my pocket knives. There are other things of his I have as well. I have his feet. I swear my feet look just like his. I have his eyes. They're big and brown. I have his gait. Knees knocking out like bow-legged cowboys. When I walk in front of storefront windows, it's my dad. I have some of those other things too. A love of animals, especially dogs. One of God's greatest inventions. His value system and code of conduct. The do's and don'ts of being a man. Some people might say bathrobes and saws and code of conduct are not exactly jewels to take to the bank. I politely answer, jewels don't shine as brightly as my father's things.
I was inspired by the story this morning and was thinking of a good activity that we could all do together, and had the idea of, instead of a memory box or diary or matchbook or matchbox diary, of doing a time capsule. So taking a picture kind of who we are as a congregation right now and putting it in a box that we will close up and label "Do not open till 2050. That's 31 years from now. So what I would like to do, hopefully everybody got a note card and a marker. If not, myself or one of the greeters will help make sure that you have one. And on your card, I'd like you to do two things. Just write a little, even if you're a visitor. If you're a visitor, say, "I'm a visitor." But I'd still like a little picture of who we are as a community right now. So a little bit about who you are, where you are right now, your concerns, your joys, what's important to you, kind of to show our values at this time, at the beginning of 2019. And then, since our theme of the month is possibility, I'd like us to think ahead. What do you expect? What do you think the possibilities are for the year 2050 when they open the box and see what our thoughts were? So write whatever you can. If you're a little person, it'd be really great if you wrote like your age on there too. You can do it any age, but especially for the younger ones. Draw pictures if you need to. But a little something about who and where you are now and the possibilities that you can see for the future for the year 2050. Some of you might be as wordy as I am and are not quite finished yet. I'm going to come around and collect those that are finished. If you want to work on them a little bit more, we'll have this downstairs in Channing Hall for coffee hour. So if you want to finish your thoughts, and then you can put them in the box down there.
I remember the first memorial service I ever did as a Unitarian minister. It was for a man I never met. I was told that his family were dedicated church members since the 1950s. And since the other ministers were out of town, I would be the one meeting with his family to plan the service. The only thing I was told about this man was, remember, he was a part of the greatest generation. The term seemed familiar, but I honestly can say I didn't know what it meant. It was a term made popular in Tom Brokaw's bestseller, The Greatest Generation, a generation born in the 1920s that endured the Great Depression, fought in World War II, and built institutions which would usher in economic prosperity for this country. It was a generation characterized by one that gave much and asked for little. As I sat with his daughter and his wife and heard stories about this man's life, I was moved. I was introduced not just to a man, but a generation. I didn't have a personal connection up to that point with people who had endured and lived with dignity in a time of both great difficulty and great possibility. I understood through hearing stories of this man's life that difficulties become more bearable to the extent that there are possibilities. The difficulties are put in context of the possibilities. This doesn't diminish the difficulties, but it puts them into a larger narrative. I also learned that in comparison, we are pretty harsh on the generations that follow. There is a lot of judgment about baby boomers, Generation X, Millennials, even Generation Y. If you don't know what most of these generations are, don't worry. I'm on the fence about whether it really matters. In many ways, the generations that follow seem to mirror each other in perplexing ways. For instance, I bet most baby boomers are more tech savvy than I am. Generation X is probably more fashionable, more in touch with trends and news. I'm pretty certain that Generation Y, the generation that comes after me, is already much smarter than I'll ever be. When I meet people of my own generation, I'm just as surprised and perplexed. I've been told more than once that perhaps I'm a throwback to a different generation. If I was forced to say which one, I'd probably reply with assurance, the greatest one. I would love to see a book written about each generation called The Greatest Generation. Because I think we need badly at this time in history, not sharp criticism or generational divides, but a sense of aspiration. Yes, a sense of greatness. There is a rightful place for honest self-assessment and criticism, and there is a rightful place for vision, for a perspective of greatness that will not only influence our life, but the life of future generations. It'll be up to us to define what that greatness is. And this greatness, in my opinion, is multi-generational. It doesn't belong to any one group based on a birth date. Each of us, in our own way, has had to contest with tragedies and changes too great for the mind to fathom. World War II and the reality of concentration camps. Civil disobedience and bloodshed, mass consumerism and technology boom, 9/11, school shootings, I could go on. Each of these tragedies and changes have left a mark on us and have marked each generation in personal and particular ways. These events have marked the mind and heart of each generation differently, some quite profoundly, but it has touched all of us. A generation is not great because of what happened to it. It's not great because certain tragedies happened or didn't happen. A generation only becomes great through its response to world events. I think this is the greatest challenge of the age we are in, all of us. I think it'll be a challenge for us to gain some sense of clarity and imagination in a time of media saturation and commentary. It'll be a challenge not to live our lives just through technology, television, and narrow political ideologies. It will be a challenge for us to face our future without resorting to the safety of numbness or despair. It will be a challenge for us to look toward our future with skeptical realism without diminishing our humanity in the process. This is perhaps the greatest challenge we have ever seen, which means one thing. We are primed to be the greatest generation. Our church is a multi-generational trust of wisdom. Some members have been here for 50 years or more. They are the bedrocks of this institution. Never forget that. They have seen more and understand more than any minister ever will. They offer all of us encouragement to stay steady through great change, not to get overly excited or lose our bearings. They teach us what stewardship really means and what it means to see beyond our interests in the present. This is a place of great possibility. We have in this congregation the World War II generation, baby boomers, Generation X, millennials, and Generation Y. It's incredible. We are facing today as a multi-generational community, working together, learning from each other, playing together, being amused and perplexed by one another. Together, we are creating the greatest generation.
Please pray with me. Spirit of love, we are thankful to be here in this multi-generational community of people of different experiences and perspectives. Please give us the willingness to grow past our self-imposed boundaries or our ideas of who we think we are. Please help us to reach across the generations to form more powerful bonds of love. All this we pray. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Rank by Rank. Again, we stand.
Rank by rank again we stand, from the four winds gathered hither, Lord, the hallowed walls demand, whence we come and how and whither, from their stillness breaking clear, echoes wake to warn or cheer, higher truth from saint and seer, call to us assembled here. Ours the year's memorial store, from the four winds gathered hither, Lord, the hallowed walls before, lives that speak and deeds that beckon, from the dreaming of the night to the labors of the day, shines their everlasting light, guiding us upon our way. Though the path be hard and long, still we strive in expectation. Join we now their aid speechless song. One with them in aspiration, one in name, in honor, one. Guard we well the crown they won. What they dreamed be ours to do. Hope their hopes and seal them true.
We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we keep in our hearts and share with all the world.
As you depart, please remember the one great fact. You are loved and never truly alone.